Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
VoiceOver Coffee Shop, episode 74.
Welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we give you a glimpse into the world of the biggest voice actors in the industry over a delicious cup of coffee. And now, here's your host, voice actor Andrew Morrison.
Hi there. My name is Andrew Morrison, and welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we start our day with some of the finest names in voiceover. If you'd like to get to know more about me, feel free to check out my website at andrewdmorrison.com. In this episode, we have one of my best buddies in the industry, the amazing Luke Trusty. Luke has absolutely come into the voiceover industry swinging. Like, he's paved a vast road in the world of YouTube. He's created one of the greatest audio drama productions I've heard to date, called For Goodness Sake, which was nominated for multiple awards, and is one of the savviest entrepreneurs I know. And in this episode, we're going to chat a little bit about finding your VO niche, creating your own stories, and the world of YouTube narration.
Oh, you were adjusting the camera of the thing and the stuff, and hold on, let me adjust my hair. I didn't even do my makeup for this interview.
We're supposed to have hair?
No, hair is optional. I mean, I originally had hair as a stipulation, but you'd be surprised how many bald, bearded men there are in the voiceover industry.
I'm not super surprised. Have you met Hugh Edwards?
Yes, that's the gravy guy, right? Mm-hmm. Fantastic, beautiful, awesome. So this interview has already started, and actually
that's lovely. No,
I had to start pressing record like right out the gate. Started when I interviewed Mark Scott. Forgot to press the record button, and then halfway through the interview I told him I got so tunnel visioned into interviewing you that I forgot that. And you can hear it at the beginning of the interview, like, I'm like, so how do you take your coffee? He's like, in the form of a Dr. Pepper. Like, he was so sweet, and he graciously just jumped back into it and re-answered all my questions like a champ. But God,
plus it's us, and we're just a couple of goofballs anytime we're around each other anyway.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah. We've worked together and lived and loved, yeah. And we're able to hold hands through Source Connect. And
like April of May of 2021.
April of May.
April
is
or
month? Oh. April. I was like, is that a month?
April, it is now.
Adding a new month. Just keep tagging them on.
Yeah, right. You know, because of leap year.
What was that theory? If we keep everything to like 30-day months, then we wouldn't have leap years.
Yeah, there's some way to do it where it'd be like perfectly balanced, and there'd be like the same number of days every month, and all the calendars would magically align, and everything would be great and easy to keep track of.
You think we could get Nava to add that to their lobbying calendar?
You know, that would be great. They're killing it, man. They're doing great right now.
They are. They're doing amazing. God, I love Karin and Tim and the whole freaking team.
The whole team. They're great people.
Dude, they're kicking butt. Like, oh, you guys are the silent freaking military.
Right. You're the specialist. Right.
And they're all voiceover talent. So they're doing like all of this fighting for us, and then they're managing their careers.
Right. And they're still doing the work and putting in the time like everybody else. And then some. Oh man, you know what you need? You need a nice dose of humility. That's what you need.
Humility. I'm the most humility. Humble person on the planet.
So am I. My humble. Yeah, my humble. You're not more humble than me. I am so more humble than you are. I had to create humility.
You wish you were humble than me, your award-winning productions and all this snazz that you throw out to the ether.
I don't know about that. I mean, I put a couple nice things out.
A couple of humble things.
Yeah. I put out so much humility into the universe. Nobody has put more humble into the universe than I have. I'm so humble.
All right. Enough of our nonsense. Let's get to the actual interview.
So how do you take your coffee in the morning, Luke Trusty? Let's actually start like this thing properly in a normal way.
Okay, yeah, right. Because we've been all over the place so far. Yeah. No, it's I kind of like, you know, it's like you put two rappers together and it's like, you know, game recognized game. Well, manic recognized manic whenever we're talking to each other.
Well, I mean, we've known each other for a ridiculously long time.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You're going on like
you're the Jason Bateman to my Will Arnett.
Yeah, I'll take it. I've been called worse. So well, coffee now is Dunkin', because I went out with the wife and we did stuff. So,
well, when you're making it at home, how do you usually take it? Like, well, or your Dunkin' order? Yeah. Like, what's your Dunkin' order? I've never asked somebody like their outside of home order.
Oh, like, it's always like caramel mocha. Always caramel mocha. Sucker. Yeah, caramel mocha. I'm a sucker. It's like, it's just sweet, got enough pep to get you going a little bit, right?
Just going
through the day, right? But no, home stuff is usually just like, I'll do like chock full of nuts and a little bit of hot cocoa powder.
Okay.
Just because it's a nice little touch. When I first got started in voiceover, everybody's like, you don't drink coffee. You don't do the milk. You don't do this. You don't do the that. And I tried for like 2 weeks. I'm like, okay.
There's maybe like 15% of the voice actors that I know that don't drink coffee.
I know, right? Right? Because I'm like, oh, I'm not going to do the milk. I'm not going to do the dairy. I'm not going to do the caffeine. I'm just going to do the liquid water and I'm going to try it. And I was a monster, dude.
Well, I drink like black, but I got these like, what is it called? These LMNT electrolyte things that I add to my water, and they kind of help like counter anything the coffee's damaging, I guess.
Well, for me, what I discovered, and this was fun for me, was my face makes the exact same sounds no matter what I do. So I was not drinking coffee to avoid, like, you know, all those really fun, delectable clicks and pops. And
oh, they're my favorite.
Sounds that we all get, right, on a day-to-day basis, regardless of what we do. And I'm like, you know, the coffee actually helps me. The coffee is my warm-up process. Mm-hmm. That's my warm-up. Like, I have my coffee, and I'm like, cool, bam, let's get all this work done for the day. So it's like, yeah, I don't understand. Yeah, if you like your coffee, drink your coffee. Coffee good.
Do you do any like vocal exercises before you hop into the booth?
Don't have to. That's what the coffee's for.
Okay.
That was the other thing I noticed, is like when I have my morning cup of coffee, hot coffee clears everything out, and I'm good to go. Whether I'm hopping in the booth for an hour worth of work or like six. So that's what I need. Gets me in the pocket, gets me in the zone. I'm good.
So you don't have to scream air supply at the top of your lungs in order to get
not unless I really want to. I mean, I don't think anybody really has to scream air supply at the top of their lungs. I think that's always a personal choice. You know, for me, it's going to be like, you know, Scorpions or something else anyway. I don't know if I would scream air supply at the
top.
So
you can rock the booth like a hurricane. I gotcha.
Exactly. You get it.
I don't know, dude. Legitimately. Making love out of nothing at all by air supply while I'm in the shower. Like, that's not my whole vocal routine. Like, I do the trills and I do like the scales and stuff like that because I do like a range of things. But like, mm-hmm. that song is always like in my shower repertoire because it goes up and down and up and down.
Up and around. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Now, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead. You have
the Okay. What I was going to say is that back when I was doing vocal routines, because again, you know, everybody's like, you got to do the thing. It's what you do, until I kind of just started to realize I don't have to, because I, you know, either I'm lucky, I'm fortunate, or my voice just works that way. What I would do would be like orchestrated theme songs from TV shows. Like Star Trek Voyager and Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Like, those are my go-to. Because one is heavier and bassy, and one is lighter and much more, like, brassy.
So you're just a cappella in a score.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And you pick two contrasting ones, so you work out your higher range and your lower range. Uh-huh. And then eventually I just kind of discovered that coffee does the exact same thing, and I get to save 30 minutes every day.
Okay. How did you get started in voiceover? Like, I met you, like, through a voiceover group based off of a voiceover class by the amazing Steve Bloom. Yes. But, like, how did you find voiceover before our little origin era together? I don't know the term for that. Mm-hmm. For our journey, I guess.
Our origin story is good.
Yeah, there's another word. There's another word synonymous with pilgrimage that I was looking for, but I'll find it later.
Just thesaurus and just overdub it in. You'll be good.
Yeah.
Well, for me, like I always, I knew when I was a kid that I wanted to be a voice actor, but you know, I was born in 85. So like I'm an 80s baby and I grew up in what Andy Barnett lovingly calls flyover country, which is the middle of nowhere in Missouri. And so there's only so many options that you have when you live in places like that. And voiceover was never on the radar. It was never a thing. So fast forward, I meet my wife, I'm on the East Coast, we do the tutoring thing. And then like so many other people, COVID hit, right? Yeah, that did the tutoring thing, was a private educator for, oh my God, we did that for 12 or 13 years, where I was teaching creative writing and English language art specifically. So translated perfectly into this. But COVID hit, and when you're an in-person tutor and suddenly you can't do in-person tutoring anymore, what do? You do everything remote, you do everything online. And the kind of big impetus for me really was my wife and I were fighting a lot, as a lot of couples did during COVID, because COVID stress was like huge. It was real. And throughout COVID, I was like, you know, she asked me one day, it's like, why are you acting like that? And I didn't have an answer for her. I legitimately didn't have an answer for why I was being kind of, you know, kind of a doofus and kind of being a jerk. I was like, you know what? Maybe it's time to stop and think and kind of figure out this problem a little bit. And it just happened to be around that time that Steve was like hardcore marketing all of his classes on Facebook.
Right.
So I'm like, he's like, yeah, come and do this. And I watched like one or two of his little, you know, free explainer videos. And his approach to it was a lot more about like that sense of self-discovery as you went. I'm like, this might be a really good way for me to, you know, approach voiceover like I've always wanted to, but maybe also a really good opportunity for me to work on myself as a person at the same time.
Okay.
And it just kind of like really just kind of killed two birds with one stone.
So when people ask you when you land that big Disney or Bethesda or whatever role, you're going to tell them that Spike Spiegel became your marriage counselor.
And kind of. Yeah, really. And, you know, there are so many good people that Steve works with for Bloombot.
Yeah.
Ray Ronnie is amazing because she's all about spiritualism and self-discovery. Mm-hmm. And he puts out the Voice Monkey Dispatch every month. And she had an article in one of them that really talked about like, whenever you're reacting to a situation or you're talking in any moment, it's important to recognize whose voice you're using. And I think that's really what kind of hit me and started changing things around, is my wife was like, you know, she's like, this is what you do all the time. And so I thought about that and I thought about that reaction and I said, okay, so Who's really doing that? Who has that kind of reaction? Who does that sound like? And it hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm like, holy crap. That's how my dad would talk to my mom when my mom interrupted him. So I'm like, oh, wow. So it's my dadism that's flaring up in that moment. That's not how I normally talk. That's how my dad would talk. And it was that little bit just kind of unraveled everything else. And kind of got me to where I am today. So yeah, that one moment, that one thing.
That's cool. So the bulk of your work is YouTube work, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
How'd you get into like the YouTube sphere of voiceover, and how has that been sustainable? Tell me about YouTube work. Cause that's frowned upon in a lot of places for unnecessary reasons. You know what I mean?
You know what? When our tutoring work started drying up, around this time last year, around March of last year. And I had been, you know, like so many other people, been, you know, pursuing or chasing or whatever term you want to use for voiceover work when you're first starting, but you're selective about what you're doing when you first start.
Right.
And YouTube work was always there, but so many people had always said, don't do it. It's a hamster wheel. I love this phrase. I see it all the time. It's the Wild West of voiceover. I see that all the time.
How right? is it correlated to the Wild West?
It's the Wild West of voiceover, son, because it's unregulated and there ain't no rules and there's bandits and outlaws and blah, 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 blah.
I'm pretty sure if somebody called any genre of voiceover the Wild West, that would just kind of entice me to do it more.
Yeah, right?
Like, I want to be a VO pirate.
Right?
Or a VO cowboy.
Right? So what happened was so many people were talking so much trash on doing YouTube work that I stayed away from it because, you know, there's this whole conception about we all have, I don't know, some magical voiceover fairy that keeps track of every single little job we ever do or we've ever, that's what I call it, it's my voiceover fairy. And my voiceover fairy has this beautiful organized ledger with hyperlinks to everything I've ever put out. And anytime I submit myself to a new person, that fairy is right there and says, here's a catalog of Luke Trusty and everything he's ever done and anything and everything he's ever said. So you look at that when you decide if you want to work with him. Mm-hmm. And people said, you're not going to get agents. You're not going to get cast. You're not going to get this work. You're not going to get that work. You can't do this or you can't do that if you do YouTube content. Uh-huh. And these were like very old guardish people that have been in the industry for 20, 30 plus years. Mm-hmm. And so as, you know, a COVO, that's how I identify. I'm a COVID voiceover. That's what I am. Right. That's when I got started.
COVO.
And when you're coming into it, and everybody you grew up listening to as a kid or a young adult is like, no, don't do it. Don't do it. It's bad. And I believe somebody once said it erodes the foundation of the industry about YouTube. And so that really kind of gave me a really hyper negative view of content. And for me, what happened was tutoring was drying up. I had an opportunity to start doing YouTube content. And it was either that or I could go and work at a Costco or try to get a job at a ShopRite or try to get a survival job someplace else, you know, a soul shriveling 9-to-5 somewhere that probably would have been one of the last jobs I ever worked in my life. Or I could get over all of these, you know, inhibitions and fears and feels that I had over YouTube content that was all secondhand and thirdhand information anyway.
Why was your first thought to go to a 9-to-5 and not go back to tutoring?
Because our work had all dried up. Because we...
Mm-hmm. You didn't think about like creating your own?
We thought about it, but we had already built up ourselves and a reputation in Brooklyn. Because that's where we lived prior to moving back to Jersey because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
So we taught 3 generations worth of students in the time that we were teaching. And a lot of it was all word of mouth. We didn't have to advertise. We didn't have to go looking for work. It was friends and friends and cousins and family members and everything else. Because we work specifically with English as second language learners. So ESL learners,
right,
or ELL, or people that had recently immigrated, or like first generation American born Chinese whose parents only spoke Chinese at home. And so we were already kind of a very niche market anyway.
Yeah.
And a lot of our business was word of mouth. And when we moved to New Jersey, that was a much smaller market that we moved into with that niche. And it was already dominated by people locally. So there really wouldn't have been a way to break into that. So for me, it really was like, okay, cool. I can try to turn voiceover into my survival job, or I can go and find a survival job. And I elected to make voiceover my survival job. Because
okay.
If you're going to have a survival job, make sure it's in the field you want to work in, right? Mm-hmm. And so it started off with, it was bad. The first one I did, it was terrible. I listened to it the other day. It was god awful, dude. I spent like 4 hours on this thing. Because I tinker with audio engineering. You know that. I tinker with like mixing. I wear a lot of different hats.
Right.
And this thing was like, it was chef's kiss. I was like, this is one of the best things I've ever engineered ever. It sounds amazing. And they listened to it for like 3 seconds and they're like, no, your voice just doesn't fit this niche. And I'm like, that's good.
Aww, that's your fine. First no, throw that in the baby book.
it was an instant one too. But what happened is I'm like, okay, cool. I could have just been like instantly deflated and given up and walked away and muttered and said, well, this is just bad as everybody said.
Yeah.
But instead I'm like, hey, I've got technical knowledge. I can do a couple different styles of delivery. I have a few different microphones. I can change up my sound in spaces you need. And they're like, oh, you really know like all this stuff about voiceover. I'm like, yeah, because I'm one of those guys where I over prepare for something because I believe in the notion of value, right? Yeah. So if I'm going to propose myself to a person, it's because I know what value I'm bringing to the table. I don't ever want to be undervalued in a situation, basically, right? And so I'm like, yeah, I can do this and I can do that. And they're like, well, you want to hop on a Zoom call with us, you know, in a couple of days and talk to us because we just, you know, we organize stuff. We produce stuff. We've hired voice actors. We don't have the same level of knowledge you do. Well, yeah, sure. And then a couple of days later, I followed up. And so I went from a no on one YouTube video to then becoming a voiceover manager for a startup YouTube production company. And then we started with, I think we had seven teams when I started around March of last year. And as of today, we have over 200 teams that I'm managing all the voice actors for.
Jesus.
And it's a lot. But that's enabled me to move into learning the ropes as a casting director, learning the ropes into doing live directed sessions with some of my people. Most of my voice actors that I have on my roster, I handpicked and I've been training and working with for the last year. And so that's on top of doing all these YouTube narrations every month as well. And so what started as a, don't do it, it's awful, it's bad for you because your VO fairy is going to ruin your career, to I am helping people jumpstart their careers. I'm helping people find work in voiceover. And everything that I'm doing is YouTube related. And it's either for our production company or it's for new clients that I've made through my editors or through my writers, right? So this whole conception about it's like evil, it's bad. It's just wrong, because what YouTube really is, the way it works fundamentally, is all suspension of disbelief. When you watch a YouTube channel, right? You kind of get pulled into it. And your first thought is, usually, this person's doing a great job, right? Do you think of a voice actor that's doing that? Do you think of the writer that's doing that? Do you think of the video editor that's doing that? Or do you think the person who owns the channel is doing that? It's the channel owner. 99% of people who watch YouTube think the person who uploaded that video did all of the work.
Right.
That's the magic of YouTube. That's the suspension of disbelief. The real fact of the matter is this: entrepreneurs run YouTube. Full stop. Entrepreneurs run YouTube.
Second biggest search engine in the world, and more views than any streaming service on the planet. Yeah.
Yeah. Daily. The statistics are crazy. If you were to spend the rest of your life, just the rest of your life, doing nothing but watching YouTube, you don't eat, you don't sleep, you do nothing but watch YouTube from now until the day you die. From the moment we started this interview until now, more content has been uploaded to YouTube than you would be able to watch in that entire lifetime of only watching that content that was uploaded in such a short period of time. YouTube is run by entrepreneurs. These are their moms, their dads, it's husbands, it's wives, it's brothers, it's sisters, it's 9-to-5 workers, it's CEOs of private companies. It is anybody and anybody across the globe who wants to establish a new revenue stream.
So as a channel manager with such fierce competition within that space, how are you guys finding your audiences?
Because the thing is that YouTube finds your audiences for you. That's what the algorithm is for. If you know how to custom tailor your results, YouTube is nothing but a glorified placement engine. That's what it is. That's all it is.
Right.
There's this whole misconception about it's this glorious beast, and there's all these rules, and there's these ins, and there's these outs, and it's all this other bazillion things you got to worry about. It's a sorting engine.
Yeah.
That's all it is. I like to think of it as the sorting hat from Harry Potter. That's what it does. Right. It'll analyze your data. It will put it out there into random spheres. It'll combine all of that to figure out what your target audience is. It'll test that audience. It'll start pushing it. Takes 2 to 4 weeks, usually, sometimes a month and a half, maybe more. But once it figures out your target demographic and it pushes to that demographic, then you've got two choices. You either run with that demographic or you stop uploading for a month or two, you let it all clear out and you try again, or you try with a different channel. That's the way YouTube works. But it's run by entrepreneurs. So anytime somebody like sees a casting call, right? I saw one guy on a Facebook group was like, yeah, I just got done on Upwork sorting through all the YouTube trash. Like, YouTube trash? Like, buddy.
With certain freelancer sites, there is the abundance of $5 right. YouTube jobs.
You know oh, yeah, I mean? Yeah.
Like, that can be defended to an extent.
But these are also platforms where you have the ability to approach these people specifically, mm-hmm. like individually. Like if I'm on YouTube and I'm looking at a channel and I see it, and I'm like, wow, this is, the concept is cool, but that voice acting is, oh, that's god awful AI. Yeah. That's bad. Oh, I've got five people that can do that better in their sleep. I'll reach out to that person. I'll reach out to the person running that channel. I'll say, hey, this is my name. This is what I do. I have a roster of people. If you get to a point where you're making enough money on your channel to afford real voice actors, this is how you contact me, right? Because that's just it. Everybody assumes that everybody's using AI because they want to. Again, entrepreneurs. Not everybody has a ton of money and a ton of capital to sink into a new startup.
Yeah, it's sometimes you can pay 2 cents for 1,000 words for an AI.
Right, exactly. And so what'll happen, like I've got one client now where he started doing that. And I worked with him last year and I touch up with my clients every once in a while. Like, hey, how you doing? It's been a minute. How are things going? Are you still doing YouTube stuff? If you need a narrator, let me know. He's like, yeah, I have to use AI right now because one of my channels got taken down and I'm kind of restarting and I don't have the money to afford a real narrator right now. He's like, but as soon as that picks up, I'll contact you. And like 2 months later, he did. And I'm doing like a ton of work for that guy right now. So it's this whole concept of like, it's the Badlands. Don't do it. It's awful. It's going to be too. I'm in a studio, Bricks. This is 100% paid for. This is a triple wall VO edition studio, Bricks. This is the last studio I am ever going to need. Every single penny of this thing paid for by YouTube work. And it wasn't like scummy, trashy, getting taken advantage of YouTube work. This is honest to God people, hardworking entrepreneurs that are trying to make another revenue stream. And the other thing to know about YouTube is that as a narrator, it is zero risk for you. YouTube is 100% zero risk. You tell people, I don't want to be credited. They don't want to credit you anyway. Yeah. Again, it would ruin that suspension of disbelief, right? I have come up with so many new niche voices by doing YouTube work over the last year than I have from any and every workout group put together that I've done since I started voice acting.
And you got paid for it.
And I got paid for it. And it was all zero risk. It was all zero risk to me. I lost nothing. Somebody could listen to that. The one thing I lost was ego. That's the one thing I lost was when somebody came to me and said, can you try it this way instead? I don't know. Maybe it's not going to work the way you want it to, eh? It might be really bad. I didn't say that. I said, sure, let's try it that way. And I discovered so many new voices and delivery styles. So that first video I did, that was awful, right? I listened to it for 3 seconds. That was in the disaster niche. And this is just kind of like to go full circle. I'm a very cyclical kind of guy. The more you talk to me, everybody will realize that over time.
Right.
So most of the money that I generate through YouTube now is doing disaster content. It's crazy, right? Mm-hmm. That one thing that I was so bad at when I first started that they said no after 3 seconds. I had an upload recently that did over, I think, 800K views. That was just like a diving disaster thing. And it took me like a whole 6 or 7 minutes to record it. Now, did I get a fair shake out of the revenue generated from that? No. But did I lose any money by videos that didn't succeed? Also, no. So the information and the knowledge that you get from doing all of this for other people then enables you to literally flip the script and become your own entrepreneur. Like, I'm starting up channels now. That's not going to cost me anything. Why? Because I know who my good writer is. I know who my good editors are. And they know I'm a good voice actor. And so we decide, let's work for each other instead of for other people. So instead of somebody else making, you know, $15,000 or $20,000 off of a really successful video, mm-hmm. we're going to make that for ourselves instead. And so you really kind of start to look at it in a different light. And that's the big thing. It is run by entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. That's just keep that in mind. So when you see a person on Upwork or Facebook or social media, and they're like, yeah, I'm looking for this kind of a narrator for this kind of video, reach out to that person. Because a lot of times that price they're going to quote is what their buddy told them to, or is the price they're going to see on like Fiverr. Right. I've actually had clients that have come to me and be like, yeah. So I really love it. I want to pay you twice as much. I'm not going to complain. Absolutely.
Right.
Let's do it. Absolutely. You know, I've got, it's really, I was talking to one of my former clients the other day. Apparently I've started developing a fan base in the Netherlands and didn't even know it.
That's cool.
It is really cool. And it's just because of the energy that you put out, right? Because mm-hmm. so many people have a tendency to look down on YouTube content full spectrum. So they're like really douchey towards the people who are trying to make the content too. So it's one thing if you're just like, oh, I'm going to look down on you because you're a voice actor doing YouTube content. Gross. It transcends to, why are you trying to do YouTube content? Why are you paying people to make content for you? Why are you trying to do that? That's such a waste of time. It's a waste of money. Don't do that. And these are like friends and family members of these people that are hearing that. Because there's so many people in the world that just don't understand what YouTube is. Right. Like, I love my mom. I love my mom to pieces. My mom is a baby boomer. I have tried 3 separate times to explain my job to my mom. She doesn't get it. She just can't comprehend it.
That's like the trope of every voice actor. The parents going, right? You make your money doing what?
Exactly. Exactly. She's like, okay. She's like, okay, Luke, are you happy? I'm like, yes, mom, I'm very happy. She's like, good. It sounds like you're happy. Is it legal? Yes, mom. It is 100% legal. It is above board. She's like, okay, do you feel like your moral compass is compromised? I'm like, no, mom, my moral compass perfectly.
What sides of YouTube has your mom been on? Jeez. You might need to put the kids' filter on her browser.
And I'll tell her this. She's like, okay, good. Because that's always been my mom's thing. My mom has always been super supportive. She's like, you know what? If you're happy, it's legal. And you don't feel like you're compromising yourself to do it, and you love your work, it's all that matters.
And so you talked about being like overprepared and making sure that you add value. So now that you're running like 200 channels and you kind of have like an overall scope of what to look for, what are those unique value propositions for a voiceover artist that are trying to get within the YouTube space?
RX10. Get it.
RX10.
I'm serious.
That's it. Isotope. All you need is isotope.
All you need is, yes, really, literally. All you need is, okay, a couple things. Number one, obviously, don't suck as a voice actor. Don't suck as a human being. And for the love of all that is holy, get isotope.
Can you write this as a book, please? So first step to getting into YouTube, don't suck. Second of all, get a plug-in and you're good to go.
It's really that simple. Because here's the deal. You and I were both nominated for a One Voice Award last year, right? And I feel so bad because I never.
Well, I still think I suck, so I don't know how that correlates.
I feel so bad. I'm very terrible with names. I always have been. Who? The guy who actually won the award last year at One Voice.
Oh, John Belville.
Thank you. I remember we were talking to him outside, and he was really surprised that he won. And so I was kind of talking to him, just had like a quick 5 or 10 minute conversation with John. And that's the amazing level of people that you can run with at some point in voiceover. He's like, yeah, one of the things that he learned from somebody was you have to keep in mind who you're talking to and how your voice is being conveyed. Mm-hmm. And he's like, most people are listening through headphones. And that stuck with me. That stuck with me for every performance I've ever done since then. was that one little nugget from John, because I'm like, that changed my career trajectory. Because instead of like trying to be big and boomy and loudy and stuff when I'm doing narration, now I'm making it more personal. Because if I'm in a person's ear, I want a certain sound. So yeah, when I say isotope and declicker, for the love of God, I mean it. Because if you're in somebody's head, and it doesn't matter how good your voice is, it doesn't matter how great the narration is, that is going to get really distracting after a while.
So in layman's terms, understand how to clean up your sound so that way you can bring out who you authentically are to the table.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, because okay. Here's the thing with YouTube, right? Especially, people's attention spans are at like 3.5 seconds.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So what that means is that there's always that need, that thing tugging at their attention strains in the back of their head. So what's going to happen is they're going to look for reasons to click away.
Right.
And it's like, oh God, is this person gargling salt water while they're reading? Like, is this Aquaman trying to tell me a story under the sea? This is so terrible. They're going to
click. Unless it's ASMR.
Unless it's ASMR. Exactly. Which is so weird. Yeah. If it's ASMR, but here's the thing with ASMR, they know what they're signing up for.
Right.
But for like a YouTube narration, nobody wants to hear smacking lips and all that stuff. Now, there are some people that it's very minor and it's not that big of a deal because there's a certain level of masking that takes place because of background music and effects and stuff like that. But no, get it. You really want to do any kind of narration, isotope. It's if you don't catch it on sale, it's the best $200 or $300 you'll ever spend. That is my number one requirement for all my voice actors. After a certain point, I'm like, look, guys, I've been nice. I've been really gentle about it. Go to Sweetwater. Go do this. Go do that. You can get the full standard edition for like $100 right now. Do it. So that you don't have to worry about it.
So once you get into YouTube narration, how do you scale it?
It's volume. It's 100% by volume. Okay. It's just volume. I sat down the other day. And I calculated everything because I was curious. You know, I was like, I was seeing people posting like, it's your fault, actually.
It's my fault.
Yeah, it's your fault.
What did I do?
You posted that video on Facebook and LinkedIn where your footage that finally came out.
The animation thing.
The animation stuff that came out. Right. Yeah. And that got me thinking. I'm like, you know, I'm actually like a very quiet guy and I don't ever really say like I did a thing. I'm like, I'm inspired by Drew. Like, I just want to kind of calculate.
Dude, that's been a how much recent of a thing.
Right?
That's been super recent. Because I did like a sports promo a couple of months back.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, I never post my work. And so I decided, I'm like, you know what? I do a lot of sports announcer stuff. And I do lot of promo stuff. And I do a lot of commercial stuff. And I never post it. I should start posting it. And so I posted a sports thing that I did. And it was Oklahoma versus Arizona for the Valero Alamo Bowl. And then I went to go direct market to a client on LinkedIn. I went to message somebody on LinkedIn. And they told me, your voice is perfect for this. Yeah. But I hate Arizona State. So we're going to go with somebody else. And so that's why for months I didn't post anything. But like, I got over it.
Crazy. Yeah. Well, and yeah. And so for me, I sat down, I calculated. I'm like, yeah, up until at the point of that posting, I had done over 2,700 narrations in a little over a year's time. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of narrations for one person to do.
Yeah. Right.
When you average anywhere between like 8 to 10 minutes per narration, right?
And that's in addition to your audio production work for your audio drama stuff and your managing of all the channels and
exactly and everything else. Yeah, that was on top of everything else that I'm doing on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
It really is. It's about technical skill. It's about microphone technique. It's about knowing how to connect to your audience. Because here's the thing. I've got people. I love all my voice actors on roster. They are just amazing human beings. I've cultivated.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So many awesome relationships. One of my guys proposed recently and his girlfriend said yes. And he's like, look, I want you to come to the wedding whenever it is. I'm like, I will be there. I was like, it's so sweet of you. I will absolutely be there. Because that's the kind of relationships that I cultivate with the people that I work with. Mm-hmm. And for me, there are some of my voice actors that will sit and they'll do a 10-minute narration and an hour. That's a lot of time to spend on a 10-minute narration.
Yeah.
That means that there's some insecurity somewhere, or there's a technical issue.
They don't have isotope.
Or they don't have isotope, right? So I really sat down and I'm like, okay, I had that conversation with myself. I said, okay, it takes me like an hour to do one of these narrations. It's like 8 or 10 minutes. At the rate I'm getting paid, it's not worth it. I can make more money at McDonald's. Something's got to change. What can I do with my process? What can I streamline? What can I fix? And so I sat down and I used Reaper and I built out a system in Reaper. So my 8-minute narration takes me 8 minutes and 30 seconds and it's done. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about cuts. I don't have to worry about edits. I don't have to worry about removing breaths. I don't have to worry about anything. The system I have is bam, bam, done, boop, render, upload, next. So I can get through on average. It's amazing. You're going to have to find out. I'm eventually going to put a video out on it.
Okay.
Yeah, that I've learned enough as a Kovo and experienced enough like secondhand and thirdhand nonsense that I'm like, you know, there's not a lot of openly accessible free information to people just starting. Right. Everything is paywalled at one point or another, right? So I want to start taking the stuff I've learned, and I'm going to start putting out a series soon, probably in the next month or two. Okay. It's just like, hey, this is who I am. Let's talk about, you know, let's talk about voiceover. Let's talk about the stuff I've learned that I've had to pay to learn, so you don't have to.
Right.
Because I came into voiceover in this, I love this booth, and I am so grateful for this thing every single day, because I started in a closet with an AT2020 microphone that I got on sale for like $50. It was the XLR. I started on a Scarlett that I got the whole package on sale for $100 and just a bunch of pass me down stuff. I had like curtain rods and blackout curtains from Amazon that were like $7 each. I had old carpet that I cut into squares for the floor in the closet. So I started just about as jank as you could possibly start in voice acting. And my promise to myself was, I will not invest any money in my business unless it comes from my business. Because if I'm going to be truly successful in voice acting, I need it to be self-sustainable. Right. So this thing, like a lot of people could look at that and go, oh, this guy's bragging. He's doing this. I'm like, no, this for me is a constant reminder of what it means to fund your business with your business.
Yeah.
Because if you fund your business with your business, you know where your money's coming from. You know where your money's going, and you know how to build your business. One of the things that we learned from Tom Deere last year at One Voice, if you've never worked with Tom Deere, and you really want to figure out how to run your business, work with Tom Deere.
Oh, I love Tom.
Oh, he's an amazing.
Tom Deere's awesome.
One of the things that he talked about was like, imagine your business, the perfect day in your business. What do you want it to look like? I'm like, okay, cool. My perfect day would look like this. I would wake up. I have a set amount of work that I don't have to source. Mm-hmm. That's my steady income stream. That's my revenue stream. I don't have to worry about it. I know how much money I'm going to make roughly every month without having to do auditions or find work. That was the first key element. I'm there now after a year. I have that. I don't have to source work. I don't have to go hunting for it. I don't have to audition. I know what my monthly income is going to be, plus or minus maybe $300 or $400, because I've built my business specifically for that. Mm-hmm. The second part would be the auditions I get to do. And the third aspect would be the stuff that I get booked for. That's a lot of fun to do, right? So I'm already at that first key step. So now I'm starting to hit all the coaching and stuff for video games super hard, because my next goal, career-wise, over the next year, work into video games consistently. So I'm at that point where I'm getting the auditions. I'm doing the auditions, I'm booking the work, but here's the beautiful thing. I don't have to worry about the dollar sign associated with the work. That was the single biggest lesson that I learned when I started making money. I can look at my invoices from last year. And when I started getting a lot more work was when I started making more money.
Yeah.
Because when I was making money, I was no longer looking at it as, oh man, like, ooh, wouldn't it be nice to have that much work? Wouldn't it be great to make that much money in a month? Mm-hmm. It gets to a point where you're like, okay, cool. I'm not worried about the money aspect of it. Now I'm worried about the performance aspect of it. Yeah. It goes from, I want to get paid to, I want to make sure that this buyer is happy and I want to keep this person buying from me for a long period of time. And then that's when the longer relationship started building out. So it's really just the way you do it.
So at what point did you start creating audio drama work, aka For Goodness Sake? One of the greatest audio dramas ever written, ever.
What
was that child birthing like?
That was painful. It was painful. Basically, Morgan L. Garden is my VO BFF. He's an amazing guy. He is just hands down one of the reasons that I still do voiceover to this day, because not a lot of people really outside of voiceover understand the lows and how bad the lows can be in voice acting. And he was there. Amy Martin was there. I love Amy so much.
Love Amy.
You know, I had some really good, amazing people that really helped me through the rough patches and the dark spots. And there's this period of time where we weren't booking anything. And towards the end of 2022. And so Morgan and I, we tried to do a podcast. We tried to do a weekly thing and we had a lot of fun. Never took off because we didn't know our heads from our butts with any of that stuff. And we didn't really care because it was practice for us and we had a good time. So he contacts me and I think the start of October of 2022, he's like, hey, we should do like a Halloween thing for the show. I'm like, yeah, that would be great. And I just came up with this like really random, ridiculous log line for it. It's like, yeah, kids find out that they're on the naughty list and they get pissed and they're going to go to the South Pole or the North Pole and take it out on Santa. He's like, yes, I love it perfectly. And it went from what should have been like a 2-minute skit to a full blown season of an audio drama. But that was the first time he and I had ever worked on anything to that degree beyond workout rooms. So that thanks to Morgan, that's where I really cut my teeth and learned how to step out of my ego. Because prior to going into that, I was very egotistical, especially with my writing. Mm-hmm. And so working with him, I was able to kind of shed that. And then we did too much. We did too much too fast. Mm-hmm. We did the full production. We started in the end of October of 2022. And the last episode was uploaded on December 31st of 2022.
You guys did really good in a very short timeline.
We went nuts, dude.
Oh, I know. Every time I'd be like, hey, Luke, you want to like do an accountability meeting? You'd be like, no, click, 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 click. I'm busy. No.
Yeah. And we were, you know, because I got you in on it. You know, I got Chris King. I got him in on it. Just basically pulled together all my really close friends because we, you know, I think at that time you were the only person I knew that was booking regular work. You know, that's changed for all of us since. But yeah, it was that kind of notion of like, if you're not booking work, make your work.
Yeah.
Like this. And this is the kind of stuff I wanted to do
with deranged films.
Yeah, exactly. With other, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like I did all the music for it. Morgan was my sound guy. I did all the engineering for it. I wrote it. He was my editor. We assembled it. We put it all together. It was this huge, beautiful thing until we revisited it like 4 or 5 months later. Now I can listen to it and I'm like, okay, yeah, it's really good for what it is, but there's so much more I could have done if we didn't have a timeline. Mm-hmm. Which is why we've been working on season 2 for a year now, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Bugs me because like I want it out now because it's so far it's that good. but yeah, like if you're really struggling finding work, make your own. Talk to the people that are closest to you and say, hey, let's just do something nuts. Let's do something crazy. Let's do something fun. Amy and I, we have worked out every Sunday for like the last 2 years. And it's shenanigans. It's fun. We're hanging out. Sometimes we're working on auditions and stuff.
So that's why you don't have time for me anymore.
Not on Sundays anyway, buddy.
Just kidding. I'm just
Yeah,
kidding.
I always joke about it. I'm like, I should record these sessions because they're just so fun. And Amy has some of the best improv voices that just
Dude.
I love the sounds that come out of Amy's face.
Yeah.
They're just amazing. And so I sat down with her a few weeks ago and I'm like, look, why don't we just start a podcast where it's just us actually recording these and then just hosting it and putting it out. So
Yeah.
now we're working on that as well. So even though we're still,
That's cool.
yeah, and it really is just us kind of like shooting the breeze and about various topics. Like we've talked about like hexing on a budget. We've talked about like Bond Boys. Like we've talked about all kinds of really, really fun stuff. And we're going to start posting in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
But take the people that are closest to you that are your support network that are in voiceover. And if you're not booking, make your own work. Do shorts. Like we did an audio drama and it stood up against all of these other animated features. That's what we were, Drew and I were both nominated for work on the show. And it wasn't even a show, it was an audio drama. Everything else in that category for, I think it was like best male performance, right?
Best male character performance, yeah,
Character
which
performance, right? Everything else in that category was animated. Ours was not. It was an audio-only medium. And we were nominated for an award that was predominantly animation-based. So, like, if you, I guarantee you know that guy who wants to be an audio engineer, pull him into it. You know that person who wants to make music or learn how to make music, pull them into it, right? Because you never know where it's going to go. I still get people, and that for whatever reason, I love the show. Don't get me wrong, it was fun. It's still gaining views every month,
Yeah.
and we
I
don't
mean, a
promote.
lot of those might be me.
Yeah, bro, I know, right? I usually discount like plus or minus 5% just for the amount of times that I listen to it. Because I again, that tendency to be overprepared to have value by reminding myself of that was the value I had then. This is the value I have now. This is how I'm going to do it differently for season two and make it better. That's how you improve not just yourself and your career, but also your business end over end. It's that constant reevaluation of what value you bring to the table. And also makes it a lot easier to negotiate your work rates too. So when you know your value, people say, well, that's too much. That's fine. When you can afford me, I'll be here.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with saying that. When you can afford me, I'll be here. And I've had so many clients come back to me and say, hey, I can afford you now. Let's give this a shot.
Yeah.
Perfect. I love hearing that because it means that they were successful in their entrepreneurship. And they're ready for the level of value that I offer, the price that I offer. And then, boom, that's how you make the money. That's how you make the relationships. That's how you make business.
Yeah, and speaking of growing entrepreneurship, I remember those days when you were working like 10 hours a day on For Goodness Sake, and you were running yourself ragged. But
Oh, yeah.
now it seems like you've been able to build that muscle and work 10-hour days on multiple different things under high stress, and you've been able to
Yeah.
manage it a lot better. How were you able to kind of slowly build that over time?
So I set limits for myself, right? I get a monthly salary for all the management work that I do. So it got to a point where I was doing 3 or 4 hours worth of admin stuff a day. And I'm like, okay, that's taking away too much time from my other work. So I sat down, I said, okay, cool. Let's have that conversation. What's your value? What are you worth? How much is this translating out to on a per hour, per daily basis? I was like, woohoo, whoa, I am worth way more than that. And the company can't afford to pay me more than what they're paying me because we're a startup. Cool. So I'm gonna dial that back. This is the amount of time that I have for this level of work every day. And I'm honest and I'm transparent. And I told my partners, I'm like, look, this is the amount of work I can do for this every day. until the company can afford to pay me more, at which point I'll scale that up as necessary. And they're like, it was perfect. They're actually, we felt you've been doing too much and the other production managers weren't. So you handle your part, they're going to handle theirs. I'm like, okay, cool. So that worked out. But a large part of it is just like anything else. I had one of my guys, he's like, yeah, I'm doing like this 8-page narration and it's killing me. He's a newer voice actor. It's not surprising. Mm-hmm. He like lost his voice for like a day or two because he's a new guy and he was making some mistakes. I follow the same advice that I told him. Step away sometimes, right? Just take a step out, take a walk out, give yourself 10 or 15 minutes, go eat a cookie, have a milkshake, right? Go eat a cookie, give yourself a little bit of a break. Cause here's the deal. When all of your work is done, they're not going to know how much time you spent doing it.
Right.
They're not, if you do it the right way, they're not going to be able to tell that you did that over a 2-hour period with a bunch of family stuff in between. I've had that happen, right? Where I've had to walk away and deal with family stuff and then come back, you know, but really it's just, here's the thing. It really boils down to one simple phrase. Mm-hmm. I've never had an opportunity to work with Charlie Adler. I would love to. This is my go-to phrase for everything in life, especially with business. Okay. This is Charlie Adler's approach as a voice director when somebody's struggling. Getting close. You listening? You hear me, right? Loud and clear. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Just fucking do it. Those 4 words have gotten me through so much. It is ridiculous. And has helped out with all of my new people so much too. You just do it, right? Because why do we procrastinate? Procrastination comes from we got hurt doing something at some point in the past, or our feelings got hurt. So we try to drag it out to avoid it. No, just do it. Well, if you got a job, get it done.
Yeah.
You know?
There's also there's the avoidance of discomfort. Like when you've got like a list of auditions and voiceover work to do, and then you also have the dishes to do, and you pick whichever one that you feel will be more comfortable, which is generally doing the dishes, and then you just
productivity. Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got a laundry list of auditions to do. Just do them. You've got audio work you got to do. Just do it. Because the amount of time you're going to spend dodging the work, you could have had it done and you don't have to worry about it and you move on. Yeah. And you've got all that time to do other stuff. And that was one of the lessons I had to learn the hard way. So I'm like, okay, realistically, with what I'm making, should I be working 12 hours a day? And the answer to that was no. I was like, okay, based on how much I'm making, how much should I be working in a day? And the answer is about 4 hours. So my work day is usually 4 or 5 hours.
I flip it. So if I'm, if I know that, like I have a kind of gauge, I like to spend half of my day marketing and half of my day voicing. And so, you know, I mean, it varies day to day, but I do an audit every month. And so if I find that I'm doing more voice work than marketing, then generally that's where I go to some of my clients and I raise my prices. Because, you know, I mean, if you like extreme scenario, you lose half your clients at double, you're still making the same amount. If I'm doing more marketing than voicing, then that means I need to change something in my marketing because it's not working as well.
Yeah. And it's different per business model.
Right. Right. Everyone's business is different.
Every business is different. Right. Like I built mine specifically so that the time I spend working, it's paid work. Right. It's not, I don't chase auditions. I don't chase work. I don't have to do marketing because I'm lazy. I'm lazy like that. I decided when I was going to build out my business, I don't want to have to waste all my time doing that. Because could you get a really good return on investment in that time? Sure. But the amount of no's or the amount of silences, and you know this as a big marketer.
I love marketing.
Huge marketing guy. I know very few people in life that are as passionate about marketing as you are.
Yeah, dude, because it's not a task. It's a scavenger hunt towards my next opportunity.
Like, there you go.
I love marketing.
Which is great because it's about mentality, right? It's about approach. So I was the same way with my work. Like, I really want my body of work and the experiences that I've built with all my buyers to speak for me. So that, I mean, daily I've got people coming to me that I've never talked to before. And they're like, oh, I know this person, and they recommended you. I'm like, wonderful. That's great to hear because that's a great person. I love working with that person. Let me give you like my referral discount. Let me save you a little bit of money because we both know a really awesome person. And then that, could I be missing out on a couple bucks per narration? Sure. Would that add up over the course of a year? Absolutely. But you know what? That's money in my pocket that's not going to somebody else's. That's money in my pocket that's not being wasted on AI. And that's a connection that I'm building with another entrepreneur who has connections with other entrepreneurs.
Why are you so against AI? I mean, no, I get the problems with AI. I do. But I also do recognize the slim purposes that it serves. But you're just no AI ever, don't touch me with that. And what does that
And
stem from?
so I think a lot of it stems from number one, being an educator,
Okay.
right? Being an educator. I am a very, I'm a very pattern-oriented kind of guy
Okay.
where patterns are just insanely easy for me to pick up and see, always have been. Probably played a few too many RTSs as a kid, blame it on Command and Conquer, blame it on StarCraft, whatever you want to blame it on. But I notice patterns and I pick up on patterns a lot faster than other people do. I have a very finely tuned BS-o-meter or a BS radar. One of the reasons that I don't personally care for AI is it's just garbage. It's just not good.
Yeah, but
Like,
like the few times where it does serve a per like for me, I have
no, don't get me
one,
wrong.
I
It
have
serves the
one,
purpose. Yeah,
yeah.
it serves the purpose. I agree. I will not trash talk AI for serving a purpose.
Yeah.
AI does not belong in art.
No, I agree.
I should be specific with that.
I
There are
agree.
so many people that look at English and they forget that it's English language arts. It's an art form. The way we speak, the way we write, the way we communicate, it's an art form.
Right.
AI will never have that ability. It will never have the finesse. I had to explain this to somebody the other day. I can give you far better work on a really crappy script written by a person than I will be able to give you by a grammatically perfected script written by AI. And that's because there's AI is good for certain things. There's no spark to it.
I mean,
There's
yeah, I
no
get that.
soul. There's no anything to it that says that was done by a person. To me, AI is always cold, right? It's always very cold. It's always very cold. It's very direct. There's no hidden meanings. There's no anything, human to it. And again, this is my ability to pick up on patterns. Most people can't tell the difference because they don't care to. Same thing for voiceover. Like there's that one voice that sounds like this that's out there for all the voiceovers that people use AI for. I'm like, that's bad. That is so hard to listen to. Again, I understand why people do it. As entrepreneurs, you have to spend money to make money after a certain point, and they're spending what they have, which is why I always encourage them, make your money on the AI and then upgrade to a human and see how much better you can do when you can afford it. I get that. But oh man, no. AI should be doing things like mowing the lawn, should be doing like all the
Well,
menial.
no, see, the
It
one
is
license that I
menial.
have, I use it for a newspaper company. Because it
I know,
wouldn't
you're
make
right.
sense for me to read a newspaper every single morning for the amount that a newspaper company would pay me, but they want the blind to be able to like re
Right, and
read hear
right.
the newspaper. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's always fringe cases, right?
Yeah.
There's always like fringe cases where it could serve a purpose. Is that going to be the exact same as you reading the newspaper? No. But we're
No.
also talking about a very specific niche demographic that wouldn't really be able to get that news content any other way. As opposed to, we've got millions, hundreds of millions of hours of AI voices out there right now,
That's
right?
true.
And a lot of it is, again, because people are trying to get to a point where they can afford real people. You know, but it's just kind of like, why are we increasing menial labor for people and letting AI do all the artistic stuff?
Man, I read that earlier. It was like, I was hoping that the future of AI would do my dishes and laundry so I could do art, not do my art so I could do my dishes and laundry. Yeah.
Right. Now, I will use AI art every once in a while, like Midjourney, mm-hmm. for concepts. But I take those concepts to artists.
Right. Yeah.
Where I'm like, hey, it's 100% AI. Yes, I am not an artist. I have like 5 left feet when it comes to writing, or drawing rather. It is not good. It's awful. This is kind of a rough concept of what I was thinking of. Mm-hmm. But obviously, whatever your style is, I'm approaching you because I like your style.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like different elements of these 5 or 6 images is kind of what I'm looking for. Because it's kind of like storyboarding. You like to be able to give people a rough idea of what you're looking for. So mm-hmm. I think of like, if you're going to use AI in an artistic sense, then using it as a roadmap for what you're looking for performance wise, that's fine. I've had clients that have come back to me and said, yeah, your guy's not really getting it. Here's something from 11 Labs. This is what I'm talking about. And I'll listen to it and I'll go, okay, cool. That voice, super jank, super jank.
But
it's a reference. Exactly. It's a reference. Because a lot of times people don't know how to, we joke about it all the time, but it really is true. People don't know what they want until you give it to them. Mm-hmm. Right? So many times. And people don't have the ability to communicate what they're looking for specifically. Like, yeah, like that guy, that Attenborough guy. Do you have anybody that can do a delivery like that? Yeah, you're just looking for a documentary style. I've got like 4 or 5 people that can do that hands down. Yeah. So it's just so many people will, I think, go to AI to articulate what they're looking for, which is fine. Mm-hmm. I have no problems against that because that to me is when it's being used the right way. Right. But you're not going to be able to get machines that can capture the human spark for art better than people ever can. Right. I don't care how trained it is. I don't care who's modeling it. I don't care any worker advancement it gets. There's going to be people out there that can tell the difference. And the people that can tell the difference are the same people that are going to pay other people at the end of every single day. That's who you want to market to. That's who you want to work with. So that when the time comes and AI is infinitely cheaper than voiceover, which it will be. It will be. We're getting closer to that than not. You're going to want to have that connection ahead of time. Yeah. You're going to want to be that human, that person that they can have a conversation with, that they have something in common with, because that's what's going to keep you on the roster. That's what's going to keep you getting paid, as opposed to an 11 lab subscription is like dirt cheap every month.
Right.
It's dirt cheap now. AI is already dirt cheap. But some people, they can hear the difference and they don't like AI. So if it's outside of arts or it's to kind of help illustrate, sure. But this is not the future of AI I signed up for, man. Like, no, don't do the jobs that we don't want to do.
Right.
Right. Because there's so many things in society that could be automated by AI to make quality of living for everybody better. But we're not doing that.
Right.
Because it's not economically beneficial to people to do it that way. So no, keep your dirty AI claws out of my art forms. That's my message.
So if you were to go and write yourself a letter and send it back to little baby Kofo Luke, what would you tell your past self now that you know all of these amazing career things and stuff? And just imagine I said something more profound than that.
Same thing I told you before. Look at this very carefully. Read these words in your head as I say them on paper. Just fucking do it. Just fucking do it. That would be the one thing I would say to myself. Because I've asked myself that question before, and it really does fall back. Just fucking do it. You know, Paul Schmidt, another big marketing guy. I love Paul Schmidt.
Love Paul.
Paul says something very similar. And this is a great piece of advice to everybody. If you have an opportunity to work and you're not, right? Start out by doing the shit that nobody else wants to do. And it's not just Paul Schmidt. Nancy Cartwright also says the same thing. Do whatever you can get your grubby little hands on. When you're first starting out, do everything you can do, because that's how you're going to get the experience, so that when an opportunity comes along to do something great, you're ready for it and you have that value proposition. As opposed to somebody saying, I really like your voice. How long have you been doing this? Oh, 2 months. I'm part of a Discord group. We work out once every 5 weeks. No, no, no. That's no. No, 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 no. Because here's the big thing as a casting director, right?
Right.
It's not just about Isotope. The other thing is, I can tell by listening to a person how much self-investment they've done. So I would tell myself, just fucking do it. Keep investing in yourself.
And get Isotope.
And get Isotope. For the love of God, dude. Get Isotope. You need it yesterday. Because I got to tell you.
This episode of the VoiceOver Coffee Shop was sponsored by Isotope RX10.
I got to. I don't even think twice about it anymore. I'll come in here. I'll have my coffee. I'll warm up. I'll start recording. D-Clicker goes on every...
Which is it? You just say you don't warm up. Now you said you do warm up. Do you mean coffee?
No. Yeah,
is that what you're talking about? Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
You're getting a lot of contradicting information here.
Nah, the coffee is the warm-up. It is the warm-up.
Okay.
So, no, like, I throw D-Clicker on everything. There's so much confidence that comes from not having to worry about it. Right? Like, I don't sit here and go, ooh, let me just redo that. I'm like, Isotope, get it.
Get it, Isotope. Get it, Isotope. Boy.
Go get a boy. You got this, man. I trust you, dog. You got this. Yeah, because it really just automate the stuff that you can't automate that gets you in your head and gets y'all worried about it, right? Just really focus on the performance. Because once you can focus on the performance, it's like, man, everything else clicks into place. But that's where it starts. It starts with being able to focus on the performance. And that's what everybody says when they're like, the audition is the job. What does that mean? It means that when you're proficient at auditioning, you don't worry about the audition. Right? That's what it means. You don't worry about the audition. Well, you do the audition. You do the audition because it's fun. And then if you get work out of that, perfect. But if you don't, it's not going to ruin your year. It's not going to ruin your bank. Mm-hmm. It's not going to ruin your ego because it was fun to do.
True.
Right? And that's when I think a lot of people really got to change their attitude in the way they approach voiceover. Mm-hmm. Like Bill DeWeese, great guy.
Oh, yeah. I love Bill. He's super sweet.
He is super nice guy. Yeah. He does voiceover as a business. Mm-hmm. Not because he wants to pursue it as an art form. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you have to have your mindset figured out for what you want your voiceover business to be.
Right.
Is it a pursuit of art that you might get paid for? Or is it strictly as a business model? Both are valid. But you got to figure out which one it is, because you can't worry about both at the same time.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, where can people find Luke Trusty and all of his demos and all of his amazing work and the, for goodness sake, Christmas Adventure audio drama? That's the best audio drama ever written on the face of the planet. And where are
I only have to pay him $5 every time he says that. This guy's great at marketing.
It's in my top three. I will say Magus Elgar is what got me started on audio dramas. I love Philip. He is an amazing human being, an amazing Foley artist, an amazing writer. He created some amazing stuff with Magus Elgar. But, for goodness sake, it's amazing.
It was fun. You can find me here on this amazing interview, on demand, anytime you can hear me. I'm right here, babe. Right here for you. You need me, I'm here. You can go to my website, I guess, luketrusty.com. Just whatever, you know, who does that?
Luketrusty.com. Who cares?
Who cares? It's got like backlinks to all my socials and, you know, a couple demo things on there. And, you know, there's a little fun section that's got links to For Goodness Sake. And now that I'm saying this, I'm like, I probably need to revamp that website now. So thanks for that.
Yeah. No, I want everybody to flood to your website and tell you how much it sucks.
Listen, one of the most valuable things I've learned last year, right? Yeah. One of the most valuable things I've learned in the last year is the value of criticism.
Oh, yeah.
Because it will chip away at your ego until your ego is gone and you are bare-ass naked against the world.
Oh, if you need somebody to criticize you, just call me, dude. I'll tell you how much you suck. Like,
and you have. You know what? Surround yourself with people that love you and trust you and will not be afraid to berate you and strip away your ego when it gets in the way. That is, so many times people say you're judged by the company you keep. That is so true in voiceover. That is so true. Because when you surround yourself with amazing, loving people, like, you know, Drew, for example,
it turns out that I didn't even pay you to say that.
Yeah, I know. Now, I'll invoice you later. Don't worry.
I'm only the most humble human being on the face of the planet.
Second most humble. I mean, humility.
Nope.
Humility prime. Yeah, if I was a transporter, I'd be humility prime. Humility
prime. If I was a bug, I'd be a humblebee.
And the sad thing is that we actually could sit here and go back and forth.
We could. Even, well, we're just saying, we're not just saying that because we didn't think of any more. We're not just.
No, we're not wasting time at all. We wouldn't do that.
What was that whole thing? The illusion of something that you talked about in the YouTube.
The suspension of disbelief. There you go.
Cool.
And humility.
And humility. And being the most humble people
you could ever work with. Absolutely. Absolutely. If you look humility and humbleness, it's synonymous with Andrew Morrison and Luke Trusty. Award nominated voice actors. Look us up.
Oh my God.
At our websites, or just look up the word humble on Google. We'll be there.
On our websites. But don't look me up by my name. That domain is owned by some real estate agent.
Ew.
That's why I had to put the middle initial in there. That's why it's Andrew D. Morrison, not Andrew Morrison, because some real estate agent out of Milwaukee owns AndrewMorrison.com. But that's also why I bought AtlantaVoiceover.com.
So career goals. We make enough and we buy that real estate
agent. No, I don't. I mean, I probably could. He doesn't look like he's put anything on there in like the past decade.
Well, there you go.
I think he was a real estate agent during the 2008 crash. I don't know.
That explains it then.
Yeah. Yeah. So, thanks for coming on, Luke. This has
been fun. Times.
I really hope you enjoy Luke's incredible insight into the other side of the industry, where he finds underserved markets and dedicates himself to leaving a lasting impression, or finding the stories that he wants to see in the world and creating them himself. If you'd like to hear some of his amazing work, you can visit www.luketrusty.com. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you in the next one.
Thank you for listening to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop. For more information on guests, new episodes, and more, be sure to visit vocoffeeshop.com and our YouTube channel or your favorite podcast streaming platform. You know you want to.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Check out our great selection of garage and utility lighting options. In stock, ready to take home today. We carry everything to help you illuminate whatever project you're working on. Shop garage and utility lighting products in store at your nearest Menards. You can also view all of our entire selection of lighting options today on Menards.com. Save big money.